Okay, welcome. Welcome to Immunize Wisely on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is May 14th, 2022. I'm your host, Ingrid Castle. I am the Director of Vaccination Liberation, a national grassroots association dedicated to providing information on vaccinations that's often being censored today in a huge way. And so that, you know, certainly I would hope RBN listeners at the very least make the only informed choice, which is complete avoidance and refusal. This is certainly not even a vaccine, what we're dealing with now, but all injections suggested by Big Pharma and public health are to be avoided at all costs, even the TB time test and even the PCR test. So there you go. I mean, there's lots of creative ways to lawfully and legally get out of it. We have that on our websites. VaccineTruth.net is a mirror of our exemption pages. We also have VaccineTruth.com. That's kind of an intro. And our main website is VacLib.org. That's V-A-C-L-I-B. That's short for Vaccination Liberation. And then .org. My business website is HumbleWeed.net. That's where I sell specific high-quality products to help people recover their health in this day and age of vaccines, chemicals, and microwave radiation. That's why I call the show Immunize Wisely, which literally means to protect and strengthen our immune function wisely while we navigate a toxic world. Our chat room is Immunize Wisely, and I stylize wisely with a Z. And that is Immunize Wisely again. That's dot chat and go or chatango.com. And I want to thank Mer Bailey for creating and hosting our chat room and adding important content there. And I also want to thank her for suggesting my guest today. She suggested several guests, and she's pretty on to this topic for sure. But anyway, before I introduce my guest, I want to go ahead and mention there's a lot of new stuff. I mean, I can't stress enough how important it is to support Republic Broadcasting Network. And if you are looking for what is going on in the world, go to the news feed. And there's really great stuff. And I have a hard time keeping up. You know, if I don't go for 2 or 3 days, pretty soon the whole news feed seems to change rapidly. Luckily, there's some of the ones from, you know, at least a week, you know, maybe 5 days or something. If they're taken off, they'll be below on the homepage. So you can always retrieve those. But really some excellent stuff. I was scanning over it today just to see some of these new things that they had. And anyway, there was this one that caught my eye because one of our listeners wants me to talk about galactagogues. That's basically things that increase milk supply in women, you know, talking about this infant formula shortage that's contrived by the Biden, you know, fake presidency administration. So it's all really, you know, crazy that all these pallets are being shipped to the border and American babies don't have any. Well, I'm going to definitely talk about that because you really don't want to have any of those formulas near your babies. And there's ways of relactating, and there's actually alternatives to formula that you can make yourself. And the Weston A. Price Foundation has been really great with that. So we'll talk about things that increase milk supply, how to wean a baby off the bottle and onto your breast, and how to do that even if you have an adopted baby. I've known people that have breastfed adopted babies and, you know, without, you know, having a recent pregnancy, it can be a little challenging. It can be done and you can begin lactating. So there's, you know, with some determination that can happen. And many people don't know, but I'm a formula Lychee League leader, and I actually became a lactation consultant through a week-long course years ago. So I do have that know-how. And now there is a horrible article on RBN, frankly, about that, suggesting that what they gave babies in the 60s is probably healthier than the formula. Well, it's not. My mother and her brothers were given that exact formula of condensed milk in a bottle, I mean in a can, you know, the condensed carnation condensed milk, you know, with sugar in it, and water and Karo corn syrup. And they had skeletal deformities as a result. Pigeon chest, and you know, these are anyway. Genetically, they were supposed to be really tall, and they had, you know, serious skeletal problems throughout their lives. All three of them, her two brothers and my mother, and so that's a whole other story. But I would like them to take that down, so maybe Sam can put in a word that that is a horrible thing, because they actually suggested in the article that we should, you know, consider that. And I would not consider that if you care about your baby. So anyway, we'll talk about this in the second hour. But without much further ado, I do have a special guest, and it's someone that lives in our area now. And I remember when the lockdown occurred, I'll just have to tell you this little story. When the lockdown occurred here in North Idaho, I found myself watching his videos and wondering, wow, where is this guy broadcasting from? It certainly looks familiar, because it looked like just where I used to live before I moved in March 2020. So anyway, finally, Carol Asher, she's been a longtime listener and supporter of RBN. She's a good friend. And she told me that my guest, Brother Nathaniel, lives in Priest River, and she would like nothing more for her birthday than a picture of me with Brother Nathaniel. So I went ahead. I didn't realize that we had a very close mutual friend at the time, and I remember sending him a $10 donation and asking him if I could have his contact information or something, you know, and to meet him for coffee. But I found out that a very close friend of ours was very close friends. Well, we had the introduction through my friend, actually, and I do have pictures that I ended up sending to her. So anyway, we go back a little ways. And anyway, Brother Nathaniel is my guest, for those not familiar with him. He has realjewnews.com. It is .com, is that right?
Yes, in Greek.
Yes, it is. So,
yes,
yes, I'm going to go ahead and ask you some questions. But the first question I want to ask you, Brother Nathaniel, is, whatever propelled you to get into this mission and street evangelizing, especially being born in, I believe you were born and raised in New York, and speaking out against, basically the people that you came from. I mean, you were born and raised Orthodox Jew, isn't that right?
Yes.
Yeah, so what,
yes,
what
I
really...
I was raised in traditional Judaism. Hebrew school, yeah. Sabbath school, everything. Bar mitzvah.
So what was the big turning point in your life that you felt that you wanted to speak out and warn us goyim, you know, about the machinations of these, satanic cult? You know, I mean, it's a
branch. Yeah, I would say, Ingrid, I would say three things, and I'll make it short, okay? In our bar mitzvah class, we studied all the religions under the sun, just religions that no one ever heard of at that time, Baha'i, you know, mm-hmm. Zen. This is 1963. You didn't hear about this then, okay? So we were to learn all these religions to see why Judaism was superior. So we're going through every religion under the sun and weird religions. And, we covered Islam and we covered Buddhism, but we didn't cover Christianity. So finally, at the end of the bar mitzvah year, school year, before we're all going to get bar mitzvahed, the teacher gets up, Mrs. Schechter. Built like a bull. I still see her in my mind. This made such a strong impression. She gets up from her desk, because now she's about to announce something very significant. So she gets up and says, children, we're not going to study Christianity. because it's a fable made up by a self-hating Jew named Saul, who hated his Jewishness so much, he changed his name to the Goyish name Paul. And besides, he was a manic depressant.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and now, no one knew what this meant, manic depressant, in 1963, or 1962, actually. We were all 12 years old. So I go home, and I say to my dad, you know, I said, what's a manic depressant? He says, I don't have a clue. Why are you asking? He says, well, mm-hmm. Mrs. Schechter says that some guy named Saul, changed his name to Paul, was a manic depressant. He says, son, I don't know what you're talking about. I says, well, the bottom line is we're forbidden to study Christianity, and I feel like we should, because the whole world around us is Christian. I mean, I grew up in the 50s, Ingrid. It was a very Christian-oriented culture then. It's not now.
Right.
Okay, so my dad says, look, Milton, that was my second name. Look, Milton, you are born a Jew, you will die a Jew. Give it up. I thought, okay, well, look, you know, I don't want to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, ironically, I'm going to visit my grandmother in the hospital. This is the second thing, okay? This is number two. Mm-hmm. Now, the second thing is I go to visit my grandmother in the hospital, minor operation. Who walks down the elevator on these beautiful hospital floors? You know how hospital floors are waxed so you can see your face in them, you know?
Right.
Sterilized, everything.
Right.
I said, Rabbi, Mrs. Schechter won't let us study Christianity. I mean, we should at least learn about Jesus. Let's find out what he said. And the rabbi spits on the hospital floor. Now I'm like shocked. He says, don't you dare ever even use that name unless you use it as a swear word. And he spits again. And I thought to myself, wow, I'm dealing with a bunch of bigots and narrow-minded Jews. Okay? Yeah, I'm a 12-year-old kid. I wasn't a dumb kid.
Right.
You know, Jews raise their kids to be smart, to be doctors and lawyers and CEOs and all that kind of thing. Okay, accountants. All right, I wasn't a dumb kid. All right, so then, it's just 1, 2, 3 falls. My dad takes me to a B'nai B'rith meeting after Shabbos. Sabbath. We call it Shabbos.
Uh-huh.
And, all right, you know, he was a big wig in B'nai B'rith and all that. B'nai B'rith is the umbrella group for the Anti-Defamation League. It's a billion-dollar operation. It's worldwide. It's global.
Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest Jewish operation, and B'nai B'rith means Sons of the Covenant. Okay?
Right.
So we're going to a B'nai B'rith meeting. All right, I thought, okay, we'll hear more about religious things. I was a very religious kid, Jewish-wise, mm-hmm. Okay? So we go to the meeting, and all they were talking about was politics. And who's running for mayor, who's running for senator, who's running for state legislature, who's running, you know, who's going to run for president, and who's going to be good for the Jews. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. What about what's going to be good for our city? What about our state? What about our country? Why is it Jews? We make up such a small minority. And I said to myself, okay, this is it. I got to find out what this Christian thing is all about. I got to find out about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was forbidden to read the New Testament. Like the rabbi said, you couldn't even say his name unless you use it as a curse word. And there is a Yiddish curse word. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then, but I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. So I went to school out in California. I wanted to get the heck far away as possible from the synagogue, from the rabbi, from Mrs. Schechter. And then I got a New Testament. I bought a New Testament and I read it. I read the Gospels and I fell in love with Jesus. I felt it was very Hebraic. I thought it was very Jewish. Because it begins with the genealogies of Jesus. It traces all these Jews. Then the big thing that got me, and then I'll end it, is that at one point, the Jewish mother of the apostles John and James came up to Jesus and said, can you give my boys a good job when you come into your kingdom? And I thought, yeah, that's a Jewish mother. So I was told.
Jesus.
And Jesus, you know, railing on the Pharisees, I kept on saying, get Schechter, get Mr. Schechter, Jesus, get the rabbi. And I just got on my knees and said, Jesus, I believe you're the Messiah. That's it. I'm convinced. Just from reading the Gospels. All right, that's my story.
Right. And so you did feel, you know, that energetic shift in your being, and you started evangelizing. So when did that start? I mean, obviously, there's other pieces in your life, but that really led you to question.
No, that didn't come later. No, Ingrid, that didn't come later. I mean, now I'm in my early 20s. I'm 21.
Right.
And I got involved, you know, I was out in California in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a whole social phenomenon that someone should write a book about. Maybe I could. The Jesus freaks were out on the street, handing tickets out to God. Remember that song by Elton John? Oh, they were all over the place, the Jesus freaks.
Right.
And then there was also a group called Jews for Jesus. And they were handing out tickets to God, so to speak, as the song goes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then there was also Campus Crusade for Christ. It was a huge, huge movement, okay, to reach young hippies like me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I got involved with the Jews for Jesus, but only part-time, because I wanted to make a lot of money, and I became a salesman. So I would be involved with them part-time, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't after 25 years as a salesman, straight commission, and I joined a monastery. I was in it for 10 years that I came out, and that's the whole story. And I got on the Internet, and I saw Bill O'Reilly talking about the war on Christmas. So I looked into it, and I saw who was behind this war on Christmas. It was the same suspect, same people. It was actually the American Civil Liberties Union, and we all knew as Jewish kids who ran the American Civil Liberties Union was started by communist Jews. We all knew. We all knew. My dad knew. We all knew who ran the ACLU. And they were suing towns for putting up Christmas signs. And towns can't fight the ACLU. And today, the biggest funder is George Soros. His actual name is Grigory Schwartz. He's a Jew. Pretends to be a Greek. He's not. So I decided, well, I'm going to get my wall cross, and I'm going to go out and hold that up. Now the ACLU is going to have to take me down.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take the signs down. They'll take the Merry Christmas and Nativity scenes down. Now they're going to have to take a human being down. Okay, I went to a lawyer. He says, yeah, I'll help you. Here's my card. You have a First Amendment right and all this, And I did it, and the response was incredible. I went to a media strip in Colorado, and I held it up, and wow, people just went nuts. They were, God bless you, and waving, and all. So I continued it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
So then the real
so you certainly did enough research, too. I mean, when I started watching your videos, I'm like, wow, you guys, you definitely did a deep dive into Judaism and the protocols of Zion, and certainly read some books. I mean, I can imagine your library has all kinds of stuff. So when did you really start doing that deep dive?
Angry. I grew up in it.
Right.
I got the inside track. I mean, the Jews have a public face, and they have a private face. They call you a shiksa in private. That means an unclean animal, from the Hebrew word shagas. And they call the Gentiles goyim in a derogatory sense. It's actually a Hebrew word for nations. Like, for instance, when I was a kid, if I said something stupid, all my uncles and friends would say, you got a goyish cook. That means you think like a stupid Gentile.
Right. Okay.
I grew up in it.
I get it. But yeah, there's some other, I'm going to have some other pointed questions, though. So stay tuned. You're listening to Ignites Wisely with Brother Nathaniel.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC. Great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Nathaniel for the first hour because he is traveling. He has to get a flight early in the morning. So I want to go ahead and grab some of my questions that, you know, like David Duke and a few others say that, you know, when Benjamin Friedman and even Douglas Reed talked about, you know, this separate group of people that were from, you know, Khazaria, you know, the Ashkenazi Jews and how they're separate from the Sephardic Jews. Tell the audience what your take is of that. Are they all...
All right, first of all, Dr. David Duke has contested the Khazarian theory, and so has Dr. Kevin MacDonald. They both say it's ridiculous, and it is ridiculous. Now, the Khazarian theory came about because, I forget his name, but the one who popularized it was Arthur Kessler, the 13th tribe.
Correct.
But it was another Jew scholar. Kessler was not a scholar. He was more of a journalist. All right?
Mm-hmm.
He came up with this idea that the Jews were all descended from the Khazars from the 9th century in the Caucasus. And the reason he came up with it, because he wanted to destroy the whole idea that Jews crucified Christ. You think? So he said, no, the Jews really came from this group in Khazar who became Jews. Okay, now there may have been a small tribe that became Jews, and it didn't last. It hardly lasted at all. Okay? But they tried to make this a big thing. And even today, people say, you know, the Jews are Khazars. They're not. Because there's no correspondence between the Babylonian Talmudic rabbis and the Jews, this tribe in Khazar, none. Plus, we have no tradition from the Caucasus in Judaism like horseback riding. None. So the whole thing is just totally ridiculous. I never pushed it, and I always contested it. You know, even Jeff Rentz was starting to push it. You know, and I told him, and I used to be on the radio with him. He banned me, by the way. This is ridiculous. Now, the idea of Ashkenazi Jews is geographical. The Sephardic Jews are from originally Spain, and they migrated after the Spanish Inquisition, which is another total misinformation about the Inquisition. Oh, this terrible Inquisition. It wasn't terrible at all, okay, because the Jews were pretending to be Catholics, and they weren't. They were lying. All right, so they had to be dealt with, okay? We don't want false people pretending to be Christians, and that's what they were doing. All right, so they ended up migrating into Morocco. So you have a big, you know, Moroccan Jewish community. It's very big. But it was Spain, and then they moved into different areas in Greece, too, like Thessaloniki, which became a very big Jewish banking city. So it's just geographical. All right? It's the same race, and they came from the same people, beginning with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That hasn't changed. It has not changed. My mother traced our ancestry, our genealogy, 11 generations back, all Jews. Okay? So when a rabbi comes up to me and says, "You Jew, your mother Jew," I say 11 generations back, both sides. Then they're willing to talk to me, you know. All right, that answers that question.
Okay, well, and then, I'm just throwing this out. Cliff High, in a newsletter, the New Jew question, he said, those people thinking they are Jews will have to contend with the issue of their personal identity as a Judaism adherent, as a claimed Jew, with probably no racial connection to any Semitic lineage, all the while living in a world where the secrets will be revealed in excruciating detail of the crimes of the Khazarian mafia, their cousins being laid at their feet as well. But he's claiming there's no racial connection.
Well, let him prove it. He can't prove anything. The Jews mostly stayed within themselves. They call it the ghetto because they were not allowed to travel during Shabbos on Saturdays. And they stayed within their own communities. And they had a shul or a synagogue in the middle of their community they would walk to. The Jews were always isolated, okay? It wasn't until the Enlightenment in the 1800s that they began a little bit to intermarry, but not that much, okay? And if you did intermarry, the children were not accepted by the Jewish community if the mother was not Jewish.
Yeah, it was always
the same today.
It
only started in the 4th century that the rabbis decided it's going to be through the mother. Before that, it was through the father.
And what century was that?
And that's Talmudic Judaism.
Repeat that. It was during what century?
Well, it was always patrilineal. It was not matrilineal until the 4th century A.D.
Okay.
That the rabbis decided it's going to be through the mother.
Okay, we have a quick commercial break and then a huge stretch, okay? So hold on. You're listening to Brother Nathaniel on Immunize Wisely.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumer's house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Brother Nathaniel a few questions, you know, because he certainly is a guy to ask to these days, you know, as a believer in Jesus Christ and rejecting Judaism. So anyway, I wanted to ask you about the birth of the Talmud, because we all knew the Torah was the book of Judaism, but when did the Talmud come into existence? I mean,
it's not even easy
to find copies of it. Where do you even get copies? But I mean, from what everyone tells me, it has these.
I'll give you the short version. The Torah must be distinguished very distinctly from Talmud. Torah is the five books of Moses: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Okay? It's the Bible. That's Torah, strictly speaking. Jews may say Torah, meaning, Talmud. But actually, it was always considered literally the first five books of Moses, the Pentateuch. Okay? The Talmud began with the oral tradition which Jesus condemned in the Gospels. He says, you teach the tradition of the elders. It's in the Gospel of St. Luke. Who actually was a Jew with a Hellenic name, because many Jews had Hellenic names then, just like today they have English names, anglicized names. He said, you follow your tradition of the elders, which makes void the word of God. All right, so after Jesus Christ died and rose again, and most of his followers were Jews, they were huge amounts, but then they were scattered in 70 AD and 120 AD from the Romans, came in, that they codified the tradition of the elders into the book that's called Talmud. And it was developed over the next 6-7 centuries, and just rabbis arguing with each other and debating. It's just a total waste of time. And what it is they had to come up with a replacement for the priesthood. So the rabbinic authority became the authority to replace the Levitical priesthood, which was demolished and destroyed. There's no priesthood left in Judaism. And any attempts to rebuild the temple was just a total sham, because without a Levitical priesthood, Aaronic priesthood, and the other two tribes, Merari and the Gershomite tribes, who made up the whole priesthood, their genealogies are gone. So it's a total sham. I've argued with rabbis with this, and I've won the argument. And they know I'm right, okay? So now you have the rabbinic authority through the Talmud, and the Talmud was originally written in Babylon in Aramaic, and it's still read and studied in Aramaic by the Hasidic and Orthodox Jews. And in the Aramaic, there's horrible blasphemies against the Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Mother, the Virgin Mary. Horrible blasphemies, just terrible. It's not in the English for the Goyim to read.
Right.
I laugh because I get people writing to me, "Oh, brother, I don't see it anywhere." Of course you don't see it. It's not for the Goyim.
Right.
Right.
So how do you even know what it says? I mean, how many languages do you speak?
I studied it as a kid. I went to Hebrew school and I went to Shabbat school.
So are you saying that all traditional Jews, they learn Yiddish?
No, traditional Jews who are serious about Talmudic studies, many Orthodox, but especially the Hasids, who I studied for 3 years, the Hasidic Jews, you know, with the big beards and the fedora hats, which is kind of funny, it's Italian hats, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They read it in Aramaic. They don't read it in English.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so that should answer that question.
No, that's interesting. So, you know, then there's the thing, let me just phrase this correctly. You know, there was big pictures of a lot of traditional Hasidic Jews protesting in New York over, you know, the Zionist takeover of Palestine.
That's a very small market.
Goes on 9/11. So it's actually...
I know them. I know Rabbi David Weiss, the leader. I know him. I debated him in public.
Mm-hmm.
I debated him, and I won. Okay, but I know him, and we were still kind of friendly, kinda. But at any rate, this is called the Nutara Karta group. They are just a tiny, minuscule part of Judaism. They are a minuscule part of the Hasidim, minuscule. Okay, and they have zero influence. They're just totally on the margin, and they are against secular Zionism because they say Mashiach, or their Messiah that they believe is coming, is going to be the Antichrist, is the one that leads the Jews into Israel. So they wear Palestinian garments and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But both Hasids disagree with them. Because I know Hasids. I still talk with them. I studied with the head guy for the Hasids, Rabbi Posner. I studied with him for 3 years. So I'm still in touch with some Hasids.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the Hasids agree with me that they don't like what the secular Jews are doing, like this transgenderism and pushing homosexuality, you know, and this very strong push to tell children that they can be homosexuals. And I have some Hasids that do like what I say in that regard.
So,
and,
I mean,
Ingrid, you know the entire Hasidic community did not take the jab. They did not.
Oh, I am sure. But in Israel, they didn't have much of a choice. And there's a lot
I have friends in Israel. This was saline solution, big time. But the leftists, they got the jab. But the army didn't get the jab, didn't get the mRNA. They got saline.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but because they
see the leftists in Israel want a one-state solution. And the military dictatorship there, it's a military dictatorship. There's no freedom there. The press is under a military monitoring.
Right.
I know. I have friends in Israel. Okay. So this thing was divided up. So the leftists, they let them take that jab because the leftists wanted a one-state solution. Well, a one-state solution is suicide for Israel because if it's a one-state solution, the Arabs are having babies. They don't do abortions. They don't do birth control. They'll outnumber the Jews in 10 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was their strategy pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, for their land being taken. And, I believe me, I think it was totally illegally taken, you know, the whole...
Of course it was totally illegal. That's a whole different issue, what's happening.
It is. I know. It's absolutely criminal.
What we got to be concerned with is what's happening in America. I mean, this is drastic.
Right.
And it's worse than Weimar Germany. It's 10 times worse.
Oh, it is. I think it's absolutely horrific.
Yeah, I just did a video of the GC training you. This whole transgender thing is under the window dressing of civil rights. This is a big money-making thing for Jewish surgeons in the medical industry. This is big. And the Jews are pushing this.
Well,
Well,
as you know, all the CEOs are Jewish. There's the big pro-vaccine people are all Jewish.
CDC is a Jewish organization from the beginning.
Right.
Walensky, okay, yeah, she's a Jew, but before her was Robert Redford, and I forget a Jew, and I forget who was before him, a Jew. This is just a total front for Big Pharma, the CDC. This is not for the public interest. It never was. And she's just lied. You talk about disinformation.
Right.
You get that total disinformation coming out of Walensky's mouth every week.
Okay, so Brother Nathaniel, we have a question in the chat room from Larkin, Texas. He says, why is it that when Jews take over a country, they go on a mass killing spree? Can a non-Jew ever trust a Jew?
No, never. You can never trust a Jew. Never. They'll turn on you in a minute. And as soon as you think, wow, this Jew is doing great things, like this guy who was against the vaccine, I forget his name. He was some rabbi, and then he started making money. All that he got some zinc, and he put his own label on it.
Right.
I'm
just saying, you know, but it's usually the people that have to renounce Judaism. Now, I have a close friend.
I know he renounced Judaism, but Gilad Osment.
Uh huh.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean
Dr. Henry Macau. You want to get him on your show?
Oh, I actually do know him, too. I actually should get him on my show. He was pretty freaked out.
Yeah, he renounced Judaism, too.
Right. But he did marry a Mexican Jewish wife, you know, someone who had the same background anyway, his wife.
Oh, so, Macau? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he has a Mexican Jewish wife.
No, he's racially a Jew, Macau.
Right, exactly.
Dr. Henry Macau. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you knew that he invented the... Scruples game, right?
No, trivia. I can't remember what he...
It's Scruples.
Was it Scruples?
No, maybe I know all about it.
Okay. But he's got a great website, and so does Gilad Austin. I'm friends with both of them, and they both renounce Judaism.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. So, because I had a friend, she didn't renounce it. She just really never knew enough. She was a born-again, you know, Jews for Jesus type. And she did both, but she without a lot of understanding, you know, of what her Judaism. So she was.
Yeah, well, I was steeped in it, Ingrid. I was steeped in it. You know, now I'm with the Russian Orthodox Church. I'm not with Jews for Jesus anymore, which is basically Baptists with yarmulkes on.
Right. Okay. Yeah, but, you know, I had a, I mean, this is just a little side note. I had a gal coming over here from the Russian Orthodox Church into this country, wanted to immigrate without vaccines, and that was my first failure, because I always tell people, do not claim you're part of an organized church, but she was really kind of insistent that she wanted to claim that. Well, the Orthodox Russian Church does not advocate not vaccinating. I mean, you know, her it's not a pastor, her priest or whatever had said that everyone needs to find their own interpretation of the gospel, their own relationship with Jesus. And so he supported people that didn't believe vaccinations and you know, grab certain biblical quotes like we have. And so anyway, immigration called her out on it, because the, you know, any of the 501c3 churches, any one of these churches that's recognized by the state will not come all out and condemn vaccines. I mean, that's kind
of...
Yeah,
well, it's really, in the Russian church, the job is to preach the gospel, and it's not the individual interpretation. It's by what the church teaches, and to partake of Holy Communion. That's the main function of the Orthodox Church, is salvation. Hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and they leave it up to the parishioners to decide. I mean, my priests, my bishops know I'm against the vax. They know that very well. They never told me I got to take it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're not like immigrating. You're from here. You know, someone coming into this country, and it's actually...
Yeah, well, she should have talked to me. I would have advised her to keep a low profile, keep it cool, you know?
Well, no, she was... No, she had to. No, when you immigrate into this country, she had to be here long, you know, beyond a visa to take care of her father in New York, and she had a couple children.
Yeah.
So it was all that. But
okay.
I'm just saying, this is in the past. Right? But you know, under the Biden scene, there's no one that can come into this country unless they get vaccinated, unless they do it illegally. You'd have to come into this country as an illegal alien, you know, through the southern border in order to get out of the whole vaccine thing. Anyone that tries to do it legally, then there you go. You have to do the whole vaccine thing.
Yeah. Well, you're the expert on that, Ingrid. I'm not.
Okay. So you're saying, I mean, your first question was, okay, so basically Lark is saying that everywhere they go, they want a lot of death and mayhem. I mean, they seem to celebrate death, whether it's 9/11, where it was more than 3,000 people died. I mean, this is a huge thing where they seem to thrive off death. And to me, this is Satanism. You know, they have the church.
For the Goyim.
Yeah.
They want to kill off the Goyim. The whole COVID thing is to kill off the Goyim. The whole mRNA is to kill off the Goyim.
Right?
And to destroy, it's all in the protocol. The protocols are learned elders of Zion, to corrupt the youths, corrupt the morals, take over the monetary system. It's all outlined in the protocols of the elders of Zion. It's legit. It's so legit. I did a major article on it, proving it's not a fraud. It's totally legit. You see, if you read the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, no goy, excuse the expression, could write that. No,
yeah.
Because the layers of deception are just so complex. No goy could come up with the devilish thinking of a Jew. Couldn't even come close.
Well, then we have the Jesuit. Oh my gosh, what's you know, the book that was, you know, Eric John Phelps, who was Jewish, and he wrote the Jesuit book,
the Jesuits?
You know what
they
I'm
have
talking
zero
about.
Power. Zero. They have no influence whatsoever. That's just another way to distract from Jewish power.
Yeah.
None.
I know Michael Collins
zero.
Piper argued with, they did a debate, and it was clear that Michael Collins Piper prevailed.
Well, he knew the score, Michael. I was good friends with Michael.
Right.
He knew who was running this country. He knew who had global influence. It was not the Jesuits. It is not the Jesuits. This is just another distraction.
Right. Well, I mean, the Jesuits were certainly an evil branch of the Vatican, but that ended up being controlled by...
At that time, this was to counter the Reformation. But the Jesuits mm-hmm. today and the Jesuits in the 1600s are totally different. I mean, they're just wimps today. I know some Jesuits, they're just total wimps. They're not militants like they were in the 1600s.
So what do you suggest is a solution? That we educate ourselves, that we we just homeschool all our children, just try to divorce ourselves up from society, we correct our status? I mean, what would you consider the solution? Because obviously it's pretty entrenched in our culture right now, the infiltration of all of our institutions by this agenda.
All right, we have to begin by nationalizing the media. We have to do this. It can be on a short-term basis, but we have to take the media away from the Jews. That's what Putin did. We have to take it away from them.
But if
if
it's nationalized right now, we have them controlling all of our government institutions.
No, we could do it in a certain way. We can put certain people in charge of it, like Rand Paul, Ron Paul, and that whole group, okay, who are libertarians. And what you do is you contract it out on short-term leases, okay? And you make sure that each channel has a different purview, okay? One conservative, one leftist, one rightist, one libertarian. There's no other way, okay? I know it sounds scary to people, but either going to have Jews lying.
Well, just so you know, Rand Paul does not vote correctly. I've watched some of these votes, to fund Israel, all this money that they do every year. Now it's like unbelievable.
I know that.
There's not that many people that are brave like Senator, or is it Representative Massey and Marjorie Taylor Greene. And how many people are like Cynthia McKinney? I mean,
then we've got to take these Jewish groups and we have to say that they're agents of foreign countries, okay? And Robert Kennedy and John Kennedy wanted to do that, and they killed them both, all right?
Right.
And Michael Collins Piper wrote the definitive story on the JFK assassination. It was the Mossad. They killed Kennedy, both Kennedys. They killed both of them. The Mossad did it.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I mean, they did. It was pretty obvious 9/11, and certainly
an awareness, and the Gentiles just have to decide. Okay, do we want to destroy this country? Do we want a future for our children? The Jews have been kicked out of 109 countries. 110 is a good round number. Get them out of here. If they love Israel so much, go.
Okay. Well, that's great. Mer Bailey in the chat says, which I'm glad she is, the real elephant in the room is, what about our banking system? That is controlled by the Jews, so we would have to immediately get out of the Federal Reserve System and have a new banking system.
Yeah, well, look, there has been attempts to do that, but they've been silenced. Ron Paul even wrote a book in the Fed. I know Ron Paul, okay? And I know all about his son. I know all about him, and I know how he shifted over and started supporting Israel and all that stuff. Okay. This is a tough one. And what the Fed wants to do is they're destroying the crypto. So people say, well, we need a secure type of monetary storage, and they want a digital currency that's run by the Fed. It's called the Fed Wallet. I did a video on this 8 months ago. I was ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is the Gentiles have just got to come out of their hole and stop watching pornography and stop feeding their bellies and wake up, people, wake up.
Right.
When they homosexual marriage legal by the Jew-run Supreme Court, four Jews and a lapsed Catholic passed this thing. They legislated into law. And they shouldn't, because they're not supposed to be legislators, but they become that.
Mm-hmm.
That the Gentiles should have spoke up and said, we're not going to go along with this crap. We're not going to have same-sex marriage in our country. It's immoral, it's destructive of society, and it's a sin. Now, however you want to prioritize it, fine. I don't care.
Well, at some point, people are going to have to wake up. Yeah, I feel at some point we've got to face the facts that we don't live in a constitutional republic, and we need to take steps to restore that, because half these laws
are... We do. Yeah. But is that going to happen?
I just want to mention there is a really excellent, and I put it in the chat room, but it's on the RBN news feed, a letter to the Menticided, a 12-step recovery program. It's really good. I'm going to send you a link to that after the
show, brother. I've seen it.
I think it's good.
I think it's important. But right now, we just got to inform people and just pray and hope that people just wake up. But people are in a daze. Just people in a total daze.
I mean, I can't believe how people are still controlled by the little term anti. You're just anti-Semitic, and I just tell people, well, how can I be anti myself? I'm Semitic. That's what I say. You have to look at the definition of what Semitic means. You know, I mean, a lot of people are Semitic.
Okay, well, look, you know, if people haven't woken up by now that they're getting fed fake news. And then now when CNN says all the Russians are doing all these horrible things, and they believe it. Okay? Now, if they keep on believing CNN, we're going to get nowhere.
Right. Okay. Well, I agree with you. Well, thank you so much, Brother Nathaniel. I really appreciate you coming on and clarifying these important points, for me anyway. And I want everyone to go to realjewnews.com. Please support his work. I mean, it takes a lot of energy to go out and, do a street, show. I mean, he has all kinds of literature. He goes out in the streets. He talks to people. And he's actually now in Florida, and he's flying back home tomorrow. So anyway, thank you so much for coming on, Brother Nathaniel.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Ingrid, very much.
I do. I really appreciate you very much. Thank you, and I'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Bye.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Bye.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.